This episode is brought to you by Lilly Pulitzer. They're celebrating 65 years of creating sunshine. We will explain more about that in a bit, but first, let's get into the episode.
I've been fired a handful of times. I walked off a glamour shoot for a cover because Wayne Mazur wouldn't shoot me. He didn't like me, so he just made me stand up there, and I didn't think I crawled through the bathroom. No, I think I left through the front door.
I'm Carly Zakin.
And I'm Danielle Weisberg.
Welcome to 9 to 5-ish with the skin.
We've run into so many questions over the years and had so many moments where we needed advice, and we got it from women who'd been there.
And that's what we're bringing you with this show. Each week, we're helping you get what you want out of your career by talking to the smartest leaders we know.
Because we know your work life is a lot more than 9 to 5.
All right, let's get into it.
Hi, everyone. Today, our guest is Molly Sims. She is a model, actress, founder, and podcaster. When Molly was in college at Vanderbilt University, her friend suggested she submit photos to modeling agencies. She ended up taking a trip to New York City, where she was signed to Next Model Management. After her sophomore year of college, Molly left school to work as a model full-time, shooting for magazines like Vogue and Sports Illustrated, and brands like Jimmy Choo and CoverGirl. During her modeling career, Molly also discovered her love for acting. She starred in the long-running TV show Las Vegas and in films like Starsky and Hutch and Yes Man. Molly is also the founder of Wise Beauty, her skincare brand, and Something Happy Productions, her multimedia production company. Finally, Molly co-hosts a podcast called Lipstick on the Rim, with guests ranging from wellness and beauty experts to friends in the industry. Molly, welcome to 9 to 5-ish.
Welcome. Oh my God, Carly and Danielle. How long has it been since our first meeting?
It has been almost like probably 8 years.
I met you guys at the Pan Quotidien.
You do remember? Yes. Okay. But I don't know if you remember this part. We came straight from the airport. This is when we got invited to Cool Things. We haven't been invited to this in a long time, but we were invited to a Vanity Fair, like pre-Oscar thing, which was the dream.
Like the next gen list.
Yeah, it was like my Pretty Woman moment of like, this is it. And we checked luggage, which we never do, and my bag was lost. Do you remember this?
I remember this.
So not only like did I have to like come meet you and I'm like so excited, but I had no makeup. I had nothing. I was like in my plain clothes. And then I also had no clothes for this like the most exciting event I've ever been invited to that night. So I'm so stressed. And we told you about it. And you were like, why don't you just come over and borrow something? And I was like, one, Molly Sims is the nicest person.
Yeah.
And two, like I'm freaking out. And then Danielle, the worst friend in the world, goes, you cannot go to her house and borrow something. You just met her. Keep your cool. And I was like, but she offered.
I did offer, and I did mean it. You would have been fabulous.
I mean, Molly, I was like, yes, I'll be right over. But Danielle wouldn't let me.
You know, wait, Carly, you're not telling the best part about this story, which is Carly gets a new outfit, blah, blah, blah. We have a great trip. We're like, oh, it was so cool to meet Molly Sims. A couple days later, we're looking online, and there's a picture, a paparazzi photo.
Oh, my God.
Of Molly, like, walking across the street from the Le Pan, and I am behind you dragging my suitcase as we're trying to find something for Carly to wear. And I was like, oh, I made it.
It was just a moment.
Yeah, it was. Molly, we have long been a fan and admirer of yours. I'm so excited to talk to you about everything you have going on, but we want to start with a lightning round.
I'm ready.
Okay. What is the first paycheck you ever got? What was it for?
The first paycheck I ever got was from Corn Austin. I worked in the town square in Murray, Kentucky, and I was a sales assistant. And that was pretty much my first check. And I like crushed. I could sell more clothes and I'd be like, you cannot put that on. You cannot buy this. And if you buy this, you're going to return it. And they thought I was crazy because I think I was like 15. And I was a huge success at Corn Austin in Murray, Kentucky.
Good for you. Well, okay, second question. What is the key to being a good salesperson?
I think listening more than talking, but, you know, really trying to figure out like what the customer wants or what, you know, she's going to, or she's so excited, or she's like, oh my God, I haven't gotten out of the house. Even though I was very young, I was really good at listening.
What's your favorite Southern phrase?
Go big or go home.
What is your best Southern comfort food?
My mom passed away, but there's this like spinach casserole that is so like, so delicious. I can't even tell you. And I can make it pretty much the way she made it. And then there's like this cranberry casserole. It's hot cranberry casserole that I always make around the holidays. So those would probably be that plus any type of biscuit. I've pretty much never met a biscuit that I didn't like.
What are you reading right now?
I'm producing a movie with Amy Schumer and Happy Madison, Adam Sandler's company, called Kinda Pregnant. So we are about 3 weeks out from being done. So that's currently what I'm reading over and over and over. I want to read the new Tanya French book. I think it's called The Header.
I want to read it too. It's on my, I have a list. Like, I'm not allowed to buy a new book until I finish what's on my nightstand. What is like the one classic TV show that when you see it like on a plane, you're like, yes, I can watch this?
Friends. You know, it just brings you back.
Yeah.
What's the boldest career move you've made?
Oh my God, giving up Vanderbilt University and going to model was definitely the boldest.
Well, that goes to our first question. So let's get into it. You went from studying law at Vanderbilt to modeling, like for big, huge brands in the fashion world. Did you think that was going to be your path? Is that what you were aiming for? How did that come to be?
I think I was so young and I didn't know what I didn't know, right? Like I knew I got an opportunity to go to New York. I got signed by Next and I was like, I have to go to school in September. And they're like, well, we'll just take a semester off. I thought about studying abroad. So to me, like I still actually have the letter that I wrote Vanderbilt to say that I'm just taking one semester off. Don't worry, I'll be back. Like I really, you know, my young handwriting and just like really meant it. Like I couldn't think that big, you know, but I did take the opportunity. I was originally supposed to go to Greece. So amazing. And then I got sent to Germany in the middle of winter, which wasn't quite as amazing as I thought it was going to be when I didn't speak the language. It was a really hard, jolting time in my life. Like it was probably the hardest jump I've ever made to be, you know, I tried out. I'd worked so hard to get into Vanderbilt. I loved the school. It was 2 hours from my home. And then, you know, I'm 8 hours away in Hamburg, Germany. I didn't know a soul, you know, and I got there and they basically said I wouldn't work because I was too fat. And it just,
I can't even. Okay, I know. It's the most insane thing.
I want to talk about so many things. So you are like in your college life.
I am in my college life. I've rushed.
You're ingrained in like a real life.
Yeah. I had just come off the hill working in DC.
So I feel like you come off from working on the hill, from being pre-law at Vanderbilt, and then you have this amazing opportunity, but it really like splits kind of, I think, if you were in a, if this was like the movie, it would be like from the, you know, really pretty smart girl to the really pretty model. How did you think through that? Because when you're 19, 20 years old, like your identity is so much of what school do you go to? What sorority are you in? And then not only to make that choice, but then to go down the path of being a model and not being considered thin enough. Like there's just so much going on in your life at that period of time. I just want to hear about that.
You know, it's like I look back and I think, how in the world did I not have an absolute nervous breakdown? Listen, I had great parents. They were super supportive. I think, you know, my mom was all about having opportunities and traveling and like learn, you know, there is more than Kentucky. There's more than New York. There's more than, she just always kept us thinking and exposing us to different things to the best of her ability. I think with school, I didn't love being in a sorority. I liked it. I had a like a little bit of every, like a hard thing of like everyone doing the same thing, everyone looking alike. That was always like a little like odd to me. I don't know, but I loved having girlfriends and I loved being a part of something. But so that was an amazing growth like period of my life. It was really hard emotionally to go from being smart and thinking that you feel decent about yourself, you feel like you're smart, like then to being so judged on just your looks, being in a foreign country with no one. It was definitely a mindset that I had to really dig deep.
So the thing that I like am fascinated when we talk to anybody who started off with modeling or acting kind of at that age is, and I'll liken it to like when you talk to founders of a startup, like when they first get funding and you get so excited that somebody wants to take you on, whether that's an agent or a manager or an investor. You're like, okay, here's the paperwork I have to sign. You don't always know like what it is that you're really signing. And I want to know, like, what was it like? You're, call it 21 years old. You get signed by Next Model Management. It's a huge company, very big deal. And you're in a room with all these adults. You were pre-law, but you weren't a lawyer. That all these people are deciding your fate. What is that experience like?
Well, I just couldn't believe it, right? Like, I couldn't believe that this was happening. I think the one good thing that helped me, in between my freshman and sophomore year, I went to The Hill. In between my sophomore and junior year was when I actually got to spend a little bit of time in New York. And I had two really good mentors, Amy and Tara Baglietto. Now it's Tara Rubin and Amy Early. They were pretty much getting out of the industry. And so they really helped me. I got to ask really green questions. They were like, don't model, don't do it. You know what I mean? Like,
I did it anyway.
I know, but I did it anyway. I think I was so grateful and so happy just to be invited to the party. I know that sounds a little like cringy, but I just felt like anything that I got from this, I was lucky. Like, I always use that as like, I don't know where this is going to go, but I think that helped me. I think that helped like my mentality of not getting so down. I mean, listen, there were hours on the phone with my mother and my dad and like, I can't do this. I've got to come home. I'm so lonely. Like, I want to go back to school. And then she would just say, okay, just give it a few more days. Like, that was her way of just like, just try it. I think not having an outcome was really good for me as opposed to just using this. And that's where she really helped me, like, be okay with where I was. Mentally, though, like, the eating, the physical part of it, like, that was really difficult.
So one thing to know about me is that I love my birthday. I love my half birthday. When we started the company, it's like, great, now we have another birthday that we can celebrate. And so really, I look at Skim's birthday as kind of like my own. And we have another one coming up, which is 12 years of inspiring and empowering women. And we are so excited to celebrate.
Lily, as in Lily Pulitzer, the originator of American Resort Wear, is celebrating 65 years of inspiring women to shine bright and stand out. One way that they've done that for me is that I have an upcoming aspiration of wearing the cutest Lily tennis outfit and actually playing. But if not, I'm going to look really good on the court. Their versatile pieces are exactly what you need for warm weather getaways, special occasions, or to elevate your everyday looks. And I have to say, they are timeless and made to last. Shop spring must-haves at lilypulitzer.com. That's spelled LILLYPULITZER.com. Or find your local store.
Let's talk about that, because you end up giving it, you know, more than a few days. You sign and then you end up living abroad for 6 years. Mm-hmm. The physical part, was it worse when you were abroad? Was it worse when you were younger? Like, you know, in our minds, you've always been this like amazing, beautiful, stunning person. So I can't remember, you know, it's so weird to have.
Yeah. I mean, my parents never put a focus on, you know, dieting at 8 or 12 or whatever. And I think, you know, me starting later in life, I went to prom, I graduated from high school, I got a couple of years of college. Like, I definitely had that. I think it's just when everything became about how I looked really played heavy, because you can be thin as a size 8 or a size 10, but I needed to be a size 0. And, you know, even though I hated my height up until high school, like, it was hard at that moment, but I didn't really think about, oh my God, I'm 10 pounds overweight or I'm 25 pounds overweight. Like, it just became very obvious when they would tell me, you know, you're too fat, you're never going to work. It was so jarring to who I was, that was just almost put me under. I didn't know my nose was crooked until finally I asked the photographer. I'm like, he would go a little bit to the left or go a little bit to the right. And I was like, is everything okay? Like, should I not be looking kind of like straight down the middle? And he goes, no, don't ever look straight down the middle. I go, what? And he goes, your nose is crooked. And he goes, just go to the left or go a little bit to the right. And I never realized in 21 years.
I'm like literally sitting here with my jaw like to the floor, because all the things you're saying, I'm like, wait, what? Like, and as a fan, like somebody who watched you from MTV to the, like, all the big campaigns to then like really becoming an entrepreneur, your career has had such longevity because you've morphed into different things and different roles. And like part of what, you know, even just following you on Instagram, like part of your persona is like you have confidence and you're very like you always come off very comfortable in knowing who you are. And so you're describing these interactions that would make the most confident person not feel so good about themselves. Take us back. I mean, when you look at your kind of journey and, you know, if you go into like the MTV years in particular, like was that like a fake it till you make it? Or was that like, did you just learn how to shut off the kind of insane comments that are very specific to an industry?
Listen, this was pre-internet. So as bad as you thought you were, like your producer would, like I would be like going back and forth with like, hey guys, I'm Molly Sims. And he'd be like, okay, you're making me dizzy. You have to plant your feet. You have to not move. You can't be a bobbing seal when you're talking. Someone's talking. Just keep your, you know, I know, the little tricks you learn. You know, it's funny. I was looking
at... I'm looking at myself. I'm like,
I was looking back at pictures, I think it was the VMAs or something. And I was thinking about how bad I felt about myself. Because in the moment, you're like, you're just trying to, like you said, fake it till you make it, right? You're trying to figure it out. I do think my resilience has been earned. Like by the time I got to acting or by the time I got to even hosting, my armor was so thick from being beat up all those years. There's not a lot that can shake me.
Well, so you have a daughter. Like, I'm sure you've thought about this before. Would you let her go into these industries at the age that you did?
Listen, ultimately, I would let her do anything she wants. She will not be modeling at 10. She will not be in Paris at 16. If she chooses that path, hope to God she doesn't, I will support her. And it's not about finishing college. And I want to be very clear about that. I don't think because you finish college, you're either going to make it or you're not. I think you can come out of high school and do your thing and create your company and do anything, probably more than I can even imagine. So I don't think it's about school, but it is having a little bit of life underneath your belt. So you are able to have a little bit of a stronger mental health, mental approach to what's coming at you. I think that pressure is really real. Mental illness is really real. I mean, I'm a very disciplined human being because of what I've went through. You know, I can morph into different things. I can do all-nighters. I can pull my together. I'm starting to fundraise a little bit. Like, I can pull it together in that way. And if anybody's listening to this podcast and they're younger, take chances. Say yes. Because you never know where yes will lead you, you know, and then you'll learn to say no in certain ways of not being taken advantage of or owning your own. But like, dig deep, work really hard. Like, don't always go in with the outcome, right? Try to go through the ebbs and flows and up the mountain and down the mountain, because that's that, those are your lessons learned.
When you were, I mean, even, you know, hosting and starting off on the acting side, there was no one really talking about mental health, not in the way that it's talked about now, and tying it to things like body image or media or your confidence affecting what's going on in your head, affecting the anxiety and the physical, all of it. How did you start to build that resilience?
I think day by day, I think, you know, all the little marks like start to add up, right? So beauty was never and is never a size zero blonde 6'1". Like that is changing. There's so many women. It doesn't matter if you're 5'2", if you're 5'11", if your beauty is not just that. I always thought of myself, I'm like, okay, I may not be able to like do the high runway shows. I did it for like 4 years and I finally gave up. But then I never thought, okay, I'm going to do this. But then I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll do it this way. Right? Like I dyed my hair black. Like I was showing Scarlett yesterday in the car. She was like, who is that? And I had jet black hair. And I was like, that's me. And she goes, really? And I go, she goes, why did you dye your hair? I go, because I really wanted to fit in. I go, I didn't say heroin chic because I couldn't use the word heroin.
Yeah.
But it was a time in my industry where I was at work and there was a time when everything was really emo and dark and cool. And I think the resilience is earned. I think what's now that I love is that we're starting to take care of that. We're starting to get ahead of it. We're starting to own it. We're starting to say, I'm having a bad day. I don't feel good about this. It's okay to get fired. It's okay to I've been fired a handful of times. I walked off a glamour shoot for a cover because Wayne Mazur wouldn't shoot me. He didn't like me, so he just made me stand up there. And I didn't think I crawled through the bathroom. No, I think I left through the front door. But yeah, he just, you know.
I hope you would have left through the front door
moment stand out for you of like.
Yeah, there are a couple of moments. There was the one that Andreas, who used to work at ProMod in Hamburg, and he was so awful to me. I was at Etienne Marcel. I was in Martin Sipon boots, skinny-ass jeans, a great jacket that I still own today, and I saw him coming towards me, and I actually happened to be on the cover of French Vogue at that moment that I was in Paris, and he was like, Molly! And I was like, yeah. And like, I just kind of kept walking. Yeah. I did the biggest cover girl head turn you've ever. And I'm
yes.
You really f***ed up. I'm like, you really.
Yeah.
This, your pretty woman moment.
Yeah. Sorry. Huge.
Huge. Yep. Big. But, you know, I think, listen, I'm a firm believer that you have to make opportunity for yourself. I was not the tallest. I was not the prettiest. I sure as was not the thinnest. Right. But what I did was I worked really hard. I showed up. I was grateful. I was good to my clients. My clients were excellent to me. I mean,
well, I think one of the things you achieved a lot of success as a model, as an actor, as like an entertainer, and yet you've chosen in these last few years, especially, to become really entrepreneurial when you quote unquote don't have to, right? What drives you to make these entrepreneurial decisions at this point?
I mean, I'm very Gemini. I'm very curious. I'm very passionate. I love storytelling. I love championing women. I think for me, I've always kind of been on the end of something. So I'm the girl who'll hold up her matcha tea and smile, say, this is amazing. But I wasn't at the beginning of making the tea. I wasn't at the beginning of like, oh my God, what's matcha? How do I figure this out? And like, I felt like that in a lot of things that I did. You know, it's funny, like my first producing came exactly what's happening upstairs. I have the home edit here. This, we're filming today. They had to switch. So
we tell them hi too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're in my closet. They're in my pantry in 2015.
I'm so jealous of you right now. Honestly, of everything you've said, you're like, I lived in London and Paris. Yeah. And
the whole minute.
You could have come to my closet. You had me at organizing your closet.
Yeah, you had me.
Organizing your pantry.
Yeah, actually, they're doing my closet. But in 2015, these are two women that were standing in my pantry, and I had hired them because I needed help writing a second book called Everyday Chic. That's Getting Organized with the Home Ed is their Netflix show that we have. But it was two women who I was like, oh my God. I go, you guys don't have an agent? And I was like, you guys could do something. I got them an agent. Like, it's, I don't know. I wanted to be a part of something.
When you reflect on that, like, again, like, you've got this really successful podcast, Lipstick on the Rim. You have Wise Beauty. Like, you're doing producing. You're at the beginning of the tea making, so to speak. Like, what do you think now you are best at? What do you think you've discovered about your secret sauce?
My superpower, I'm really good at pivoting. I'm really good at looking something from a really high level and figuring it out and working backwards. I always tell women, work backwards. Start at the end and work backwards.
We always love to say that here.
A marketing calendar, a kid calendar, a life calendar. Yeah. What is it you want? And, you know, my journey started at 46, 47 in like a different life because I got asked, where do I want to be in 5 years? It was a simple question because I wanted to be with a certain manager. Mm-hmm. And the question that she needed me to answer is, do you have a 5-year plan? I did not have a 5-year plan, but I got really specific. And I love storytelling. I love creating something. I think that's also my superpower. I love like the hunt of a book. I love, like, I just was off a pitch on We Were Never Here. Like, I loved hearing the writer like bring it to life in a totally different way. I love that my kids see me work. They see me doing homework. They see me. I wouldn't be good just going and playing tennis. And I think I would drive myself crazy. I think I would drive everybody crazy.
Molly, we could talk to you for hours, but we are at time. Final question, Danielle.
Who's someone else we should have on the show?
Oh my gosh. Have you guys ever had Hilary Duff on?
No.
No.
And we're dying.
Hilary Duff was my most successful person. She's incredible. Michelle Pfeiffer.
And we want Michelle Pfeiffer too. Listen, if you can introduce us to Michelle and Hilary, we would be forever indebted.
Yeah.
She's incredible. Like, literally listening to her was like a sweet lull of like just her voice. And then with Hilary, she's just that all-around mom icon, actress, triple threat. I've known her for a really long time, but to be able to have that hour with her and just, she was just, it was so delightful.
Molly, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
Thank you for all of your support, and we can't wait to see the other things you create.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 9 to 5-ish with The Skim. A new episode will be in your feed again next Wednesday. And if you want to keep up with us in between episodes, follow us on Instagram at Carly and Danielle.
It's a really good account, I promise.